Welcome, episode 2 of The Card is Going to Change, presented by AIW and sponsored by SmartMark Video and the This Is Awesome Wrestling Show. I am Glenn Moore and joined here in studio by the co-founders of AIW, taking the curtain back just a little bit and giving you the inside details of Absolute Intense Wrestling. You can follow them on Twitter at AI Wrestling and also on Facebook. You can follow the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and Libsyn. If you have an Apple phone or Android or your laptop computer, you can download and listen to the show and past episodes as well. All right, you got John Thorne here and Chandler Biggins, co-founders of AIW. And the episode for this week is all about Absolution. And you guys, I got to know, how did Absolution start?
Wow. Well, first off, I'm shocked that we have not been canceled after 1 week of podcasting. I thought for sure that would... this would only last a week, but Absolution is kind of our marquee event. It started off kind of with way bigger expectations than I think, definitely for the time. We had these big grand ideas at the age of 21. Most of us were. I think Ray Rowe actually named it Absolution. We were trying to think of. We're trying to think of like a cool, like, oh, this is going to be our WrestleMania type of thing. And I think Ray Rowe was like, let's call a show Absolution. But Absolution kind of started was, you know, it's really no kind of mind bending situation. It was, we do a 30 man over the top rope battle royal, and the winner gets a title match at Absolution. It's an exact ripoff of the Road to WrestleMania. Because that's just, you know, just what creative geniuses we were specifically at that time.
And nobody's figured it out in a decade.
Yeah. So big shocker. We do a Royal Rumble and it leads to WrestleMania.
And we do Elimination Chamber in February.
Oh, I wish, dude. We gotta sell some ads on this podcast or something before we
Punjabi
do that.
Punjabi prison.
And I want to promote that Absolution is coming up next month, July 22nd. That's a Friday. It's going to be at Our Lady of Mount Carmel in Cleveland. You can find tickets at AIWrestling.com. So that show is coming up next month. That's why we're talking about Absolution. And my question to you, and maybe that people that have gotten into AIW in the past few years, you had EC3, known as Michael Hutter, the Deviant, back at the main event in Absolution 1. But you have also had a lot of guys come through and perform at Absolution as well. Just talk about booking maybe some of these guys, some of the maybe odd matchups you've had over the years that maybe you go back and kind of scratch your head, or maybe some matchups that you didn't take advantage of when you had these guys available.
Oh, my God. So, well, first off, about the head-scratcher thing, like, if you look at probably anything AIW first 7 years of AIW's existence, it's like a gigantic
maybe 10.
Yeah, this is a gigantic head-scratcher. But I think, like, shows that, like, two shows ago fucking sucked. Like, I hate everything. I guess to go in the theme of this podcast, the card is going to change. The original main event plan for Absolution was going to be Jerry Lawler versus Dusty Rhodes. At the time, like in like 2005, 2006.
We started AIW in 2005, and then Absolution 1 would have been the first year anniversary of Memorial Day.
Yeah, it's in 2006. At the time, like, you can book them to wrestle each other for like $3,000 flat. So we're just like, fuck it. Like, cause, you know, in 2005, it was all about the names. Like, you know, it was just like, you got to have a name on top and then like have your local ticket sellers on the show. And that's just kind of how independent wrestling was, specifically in Cleveland. But,
and we felt that would be a way to get acceptance.
Yeah. And like, since we were so new and like, there were so many wrestling companies, just in the west side of Cleveland area, there's probably 10. So, you know, everyone's kind of fighting for the same, you know, 200 people to come to their shows. So we're like, fuck, man, like, let's book these two gigantic legends. And at the time, we were doing shows in a concert club, kind of similar to how, like, Beyond Wrestling does it now, and like, concert clubs with standing room only. Like, just, like, a very intimate vibe. We were doing shows at this place called Peabody's, and, you know, we basically had the run of the place to do whatever the fuck we wanted. And they had different rooms for like, you know, concert size. Like the like our shows were in the big room, but they also had like a small concert venue on the upstairs, a small concert venue kind of, you know, down a hallway in another room. So we kind of had this like gigantic idea that, you know, obviously fell through. But like Absolution was originally going to be a 2-day event, just like the jail it was.
Like almost like a convention.
And like, you know, the show I think was on a Sunday night. So the show was going to be headlined by Jerry Lawler versus Dusty Rhodes. But like on Saturday night, we were going to do like a smaller show and then have like promote like a Dusty Rhodes Q&A, a Jerry Lawler Q&A, and do like all this interactive shit. But like at the age of 21, when literally nobody had like a real job or like a form of like real income, after like, you know, talking and like $3,000, like now we could probably come up with $3,000, like, you know, through ticket sales and stuff. First year of AIW, like coming up with $3,000.
$30 was a struggle.
Yeah, between 20 people who's like all lived with their parents, like all basically only like had money to go to like bars, like no responsibility at all. Like $3,000 might as well have been $3 million at that time. So, you know, obviously that kind of idea fell through. And then, you know, it turned into we were going to book Kamala and Maven. And
because we had a wrestler who he was a big fat white guy and he did like a white Kamala gimmick. So we're like, this is a natural fit, him versus Kamala.
Yeah, white Kamala versus real African-American Kamala. This guy that like used to be in this kind of untrained company that I was associated with, his name is KJ Fury. He like comes to AIW shows now. At the time, he had moved out to LA to be an actor. He had like an agent and he was going to be this like big deal. He's like a good looking dude. And like he was kind of rolling in these weird like LA like social circles. And he was somehow like, you know, at like clubs or had mutual friends and going out with Maven, who was like recently fired from the WWE.
And he had just done the Surreal Life. So he was like trying to be in LA, trying to be an actor and be a celebrity.
So like this dude, KJ Fury, like, you know, at this time, like, we really have no idea about, like, booking names or anything. So this guy's like, yo, like, Maven's in. He wants this much money. Fly him out of here. And we're like, cool. We make the fucking flyer. We promote it.
Well, Surreal Life logo, huge.
Yeah. So, all of a sudden, my phone rings one day, and it's Maven. And this guy is such a fucking asshole to me. He is screaming at me, like, why the fuck are you advertising me? Like, I never fucking talked to you. But I was like, well, A, you got my phone number from somebody who I assume is the guy who I booked you through, and which is the case. That's where he got the number, and he just didn't want to fucking do it. And he motherfucked me. Like, I've never heard somebody so, like, angry on the other line of the phone. So the Maven thing falls through. We ran into New Jack at a Cleveland All-Pro show.
Yeah, he was. He had a DVD come out. And he was signing him at a Cleveland All Pro show just in the crowd because, unbeknownst to us, he lived in Pittsburgh. So he rode up with Sterling James Keenan and his dad. So he's just hanging out at a Cleveland All Pro show. So we were friends with Sterling and knew his dad. So we were going to go out to eat, and New Jack came along. And New Jack.
Sterling is Corey Graves, by the way, for people that don't know.
Yeah, my bad. But New Jack just fell in love with the idea of wrestling in this company with no rules, and like he's like, what's your next date? And we're like,
it was like
Memorial Day.
It was like in 3 weeks. But yeah, like, so like we have to take, like, we kind of had to finesse New Jack though, because he had no fucking idea who we were. We just kind of knew Sterling, and like we take him out to this diner where he like orders like a full fucking seafood platter at
the
a
fisherman
diner.
Platter.
And you know, we're talking to this guy, and like, you know, at the time I'm 21 years old. Like, I lived, breathed, and died ECW as a teenager. So the New Jack is like my fucking, he's my idol, basically. It probably sounds ridiculous, but I thought New Jack was like the best wrestler on the fucking planet. So like we're sitting at this diner with him, and we're like, yeah, man, like our company is just like ECW. Like, you know, we run this concert club. There's no rules. You do whatever the fuck you want. And he was just like, all right, man, I'm in. And like, we leave and we're like, what the fuck did we just do? Like,
we had no match for him.
We just booked New Jack with like no match. And like The only person without a match was Johnny Gargano, who was supposed to wrestle Maven. Johnny Gargano at the time is like this young, like kind of awkward
like
18,
10 matches in
18 year old kid. So we're like, we're not going to fucking put him in there. We really kind of like fucked ourselves because like now we're stuck with New Jack. It's just one of those weird things, like especially at that time where we had no fucking idea what we were doing. It was just kind of go with the flow type of thing. So we're like, okay, let's figure out how to pay New Jack. He's coming. Let's find a match for him. Kamala, we had booked through like an agent, Eric Sims.
Yeah, it's not BS. It's ESS.
Yeah, and so I guess kind of fast forward to the show.
So we ordered this giant birthday cake for Kamala because it was his birthday.
Oh, he sent a promo in where he was like, I'm coming to Cleveland. I'm Kamala.
It's my birthday.
It's my birthday on that day. Like he sent this to us to play. Like,
and this is before YouTube, so I think it was like embedded in our website.
Yeah, it was like, YouTube wasn't even fucking around. It was like an embedded video on our website that probably took 20 minutes to even play. But he's like, it's my birthday. I'm coming to Cleveland. And then he like pats his belly. I wish there was still footage of it somewhere. It's so fucking stupid. But the day of the show, like we get an email that's like, hey, Kamala put on the wrong pants.
No. We didn't even get an email. We sent somebody to the airport and he never arrived. And then we called Coco Beware because Coco Beware is his buddy.
Oh, yeah. Coco Beware was working on a wheelbarrow that day.
Yeah, Coco Beware has me on speakerphone while he's fixing a wheelbarrow. And he's like, I don't know, man. I'll try to get James. Let me call you back. So then I got ESS on the phone, and then he's checking, and then Coco Beware's checking. Well, one of them, I forget who, was like, you could fix it.
They're like, Kamala went to the airport, but he put the wrong pants on. So he's not going to be able to make it to your show. And we're like, what the fuck do you mean he put the wrong pants on? Oh, he left his license in his other pair of pants, as if he only has two pairs of fucking pants. And just like,
he lives in Memphis, but he went to the Memphis airport, but he can't go back.
Yeah, he can't go get his ID and then go back. So they're just like, oh, he's not coming. Kamala wore the wrong pants. So like, we thought we're dead because like, we have heavily advertised this first big name we're trying to book. We're like this brand new company.
Because we had already advertised Maven, had to pull that, now yeah. Kamala.
So it was like such a fucking like clusterfuck. But again, you know, we're 21-year-old kids that have no fucking idea about.
And we have a giant cake.
Running a business. We just have a birthday cake for Kamala in the back. Like that's really it. And, fucking people were pissed, man. Like people were super pissed that Kamala was
like
not
there. I've never felt like more of a piece of shit in my life than when people are coming up to me like yelling at me.
So like anyway, like New Jack is still there. New Jack needs a match. So we figure out like we're gonna do this thing with like it's gonna be like me and Christian Faith against like Fontaine and this guy Chris Cronus. And then New Jack is going to run out after 10 minutes, and he's going to beat up Christian Faith.
But then Cronus no-showed.
Well, Cronus no-showed because New Jack was involved, so he was scared. Another guy that was like on our, like with us, Jerry the Butcher, he was also scared. So it's like me and Christian Faith having a weird handicap match against Marion Fontaine for some reason. And like we talked to New Jack and like he's like, yeah, I'm gonna come out after 10 minutes, and then him and Christian Faith are gonna do a match. Well, like right before we're going out, New Jack has this like Freddy Krueger claw on that nobody has seen until this point in time, and he just goes, hey, he goes, don't fuck up out there or else I'll stab you, and don't act like I haven't stabbed anybody before. I don't give a fuck about you or anybody in this fucking place.
Which it's literally brass knuckles with like butcher knives welded to it.
And we're like, what? And he's fucking dead serious. He's like, you make me fucking look like shit, I'm going to stab you. I don't give a fuck. I'll never come back here ever again.
Which I missed all this because me and Van Hughes, who was New Jack's handler, apparently New Jack was on blood thinner medication. So I and Van Hughes are at ringside with like security guards, and we all have towels because New Jack says, I'm going to bleed tonight, but if I start bleeding to death, you guys got to rescue me.
Yeah. So, it's just like a fucking mess. So like, whatever the cue was for New Jack to come out, as soon as our match started, within 1 minute, he tells like the sound guy to play his music, and he just comes out.
It was supposed to be 10 minutes in the New Japan.
Yeah, and like he starts fucking everybody up. I've never been so scared in my entire life. Like, I thought, because less than 3 minutes ago, this guy said he was going to come out and stab me. I thought he was really going to fucking stab me, because like, this is like right when he was like promoting this DVD where he beats the fuck out of Gypsy Joe with a metal baseball bat.
And he had stabbed that guy in Florida.
Yeah, so like, it was like, it was a fucking mess. But, you know, that's kind of Absolution 1 in a nutshell. And then the next year, we tried it again, and, you know, it eventually got good, but it took some time.
And the New Jack story didn't end there. He comes backstage and goes, oh, you guys were great. I'm coming to the next show in wrestling.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Then he books himself on the next show, and we can't tell him no. Like, we don't know how to tell him no, because we had been promoting this date, and he just goes, oh, yeah, man, I'll be there on July 12th or whatever it was. And we're like, what? And, yeah, he just, like, just started booking himself, and, like, it was terrifying, because it's like, you know, like I said last week, like, how do you tell Dan Severn he doesn't get 3 gimmick tables? How the fuck do you tell New Jack, like, no, man, you're not booked anymore? Like, it was fucking scary. But, yeah, I mean, that's kind of, in a nutshell, Absolution 1. And then, you know, it was a lot of trial and error, and eventually got to the point to where it was actually a good event. But it probably took about 8 or 9 years.
Oh, yeah, and, like, real quick, Absolution 3 was a debacle. That was the show. We had a partner who was making video, and he tried to make a video for the screen, and it just didn't work, and it delayed the show 2 hours.
Yeah, we didn't open doors for 2 hours.
We had another partner who was working the door. He just decides to quit AIW, so he didn't work the door.
Because, okay, we booked Mickey Knuckles versus Haley Hatred in what was going to be AIW's first ever women's match. Well, he looked at Mickey Knuckles, and he decided that she was not attractive, so it wasn't worth collecting anybody's money anymore. So he just stopped working the door and didn't tell us. And that was his legitimate reasoning. Like, and we're like, what the fuck? Like, where's the money? He's like, oh, this is a women's match, and these girls aren't even attractive? I'm out of here.
So we have a partner that delays the show 2 hours, and another partner that left the door, so nobody paid. So this is why it's been so much better with just Thorn and I.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's kind of Absolution, I guess, in a nutshell. That's the early bad years, I suppose you can call them.
Yeah.
Hopefully July 22nd turns out a little better than Kamala not wearing.
1 through 9, I think we're bad.
Yeah. Hopefully Kamala, you know, nobody wears the wrong pants on July 22nd.
Now, fast forwarding to last year and your main event. So you go from trying to book Jerry Lawler versus Dusty Rhodes for Absolution 1, and now Absolution 10. You basically have a star from the major promotions, each promotion, in one match. You had Ray Rowe, you had the Young Bucks, Matt Cross, you had EC3, you had, who am I missing?
Samoa Joe. DJZ.
Alex Daniels.
Johnny Gargano.
You had a whole slew of popular stars in one match, and the rumor was that that one match cost you how much?
But it was about $10,000.
We stopped counting at $10,000.
Yeah, I mean, that's just fees. That didn't even count like travel or like hotels or anything like that.
Wow.
We stopped counting at some point because we just were like, we don't even want to know.
Yeah, like that was probably one of our stupider ideas. But like, it was just kind of this thing that evolved because, you know, like M-Dog and EC3, they became a team like on a fluke, because EC3 was supposed to just wrestle Johnny Gargano on a show, and then he got hurt. Remember when he had like the robotic arm thing? Well, like, he got hurt like a week or two before an AIW show.
But he didn't want to cancel.
And he didn't want to cancel. So, you know, we're forced to come up with an idea on the fly. So then you know, M-Dog is just, you know, he lives here. I hit him up. He's not booked. You know, he's pretty recognizable guy. He's available for that date. So, like, you know, we just book M-Dog versus Gargano as like a fluke thing. And then I'm just like, you know, after they have their match or whatever, like, EC3 is just, you know, he's just being EC3, but he's out there with the fucked up arm. And then I go, hey, like, let's cut a promo. And they're like, well, what about? And I was just like, just talk about how you're two dudes that are on TV. And, like, they cut this fucking awesome backstage promo. And I was just like, fuck, like, okay, let's do another one. And like, I got like a series of like 2 or 3 promos out of them, and I was just like, I think we should run with this. And then you know, Ray Rowe got involved, and over months, it just kind of developed. And we booked the Young Bucks just for a one-off appearance. We were kind of like, you know, the Young Bucks were always like pretty heavily requested. But, you know, at the time, like, we didn't have the budget up until we left Turner's Hall. The crowds like doubled after we left Turner's Hall. So like we had like a much larger like capital to work with. So,
and I think April worked out to book the Young Bucks because we were splitting them.
Yeah. So, you know, we reach out like I would always reach out and kind of get an idea of people's fees and things like that. But, you know, Turner's Hall era, like to do two flights from California would have like we could have never ever done
which
that.
Flash forward to Jayla, what do we have, like 11 flights, I think?
Yeah,
flights?
I mean, that's just kind of like, I don't know what it is, but Turner's Hall, like, it was a dump. And I think people were scared to go there. Ever since leaving Turner's Hall, like, we've had all this leftover money. So, like, we're able to book the Young Bucks in April, and, like, it goes over like crazy with like big draw. People love them. And now, like, somewhere along these lines, I get this idea for this crazy ass fucking main event. And like the original plan was we were going to do the Nautica Jacobs Pavilion, whatever it's called. We're going to do the big pavilion that Prime Wrestling used to always do. And then, you know, I'm negotiating with that place, and then I get a date, and then it's like, oh, TNA is taping that date. Okay, fuck, can't do my big idea. All right, like, work out another date. Ring of Honor is running that date. So, like, finally, you know, I find a date that everybody's available, July 10th. And that Masonic Temple had been kind of, like, pursuing us. And we're just like, all right, let's fucking book it. I really wanted to do it at, like, the pavilion. I thought that...
And we had already talked with other rings and cages to do a war game.
Yeah, the original plan was going to be a two-ring cage war games. That 10-on-10 was supposed to be a war games, like, double cage, double ring at Nautica. And, you know, we had secured, like, the cages. We had secured the, you know, the other ring. And it just, you know, I couldn't line up the dates with Nautica and all the talent. So we wind up with this, you know, with this Masonic Temple because it looked cool. And
it has been something we had on the back burner for probably 6 years.
Yeah, we had, like, looked at that building years ago. But, you know, we're able to line up all the talent, but we can't get Nautica. We can't do this big War Games match. Super bummed out. So we just got to roll with it. Originally, it was going to be a 4-on-4. And then Samoa Joe was randomly allowed to take more dates, and we hit him up right away, and he was available for the date that everyone else was available. So we're like, well, what do we do? Like, okay, let's just put Alex.
We wanted
Daniels
to add him because we knew he wouldn't be around.
Yeah, long. Like, we wanted to add him, and then we would have a WWE guy, Ring of Honor guy, you know, all these people on like in one match. Like, that could never fucking be done. Like, and I kind of am disappointed that I thought it would get a lot more attention than it did. Because, I mean, it's crazy. Like, when I was a wrestling fan, like, I would always go nuts over the Brian Pillman Memorial Show because, like, that was the
only time. They were on the same card, not even in the same matches.
Right. Like, but, like, that would be, like, the only time where, like, ECW, WWF, and WCW would be in one place. So, to me, that was kind of my thought process is, like, let's get all these fucking guys.
Like, I would say it's more like when Mike Awesome and Taz wrestled.
Right. Like, it's like, let's get all these fucking guys that can never wrestle each other based on their contracts. Like, AIW is kind of like a neutral ground sort of thing. I thought it was going to get, like, insane attention. It didn't get the attention that I thought. Like, you know, we sold the building out. I think we could have sold I honestly feel we could have sold 500 more tickets easily, especially if we did the war
game. It wasn't our idea to say sell out.
But, like, you know, that venue was like, fuck, like, you have to stop selling tickets. And we're like, well, why? They're like, what are we going to do with all these people? And we're like, make money? Like, sell them shit?
Yeah, because when I was working the door, we met like 8 different dudes that said they were the owner of this place. But the dude ran up to me right before we opened doors and said, oh my God, I've never seen more people in line. What are we going to do? And I said, sell them tickets, man.
Yeah, like, so that's why we booked Vader, actually, which is a whole fucking biggins can go into that. But
that's another episode.
But
love Vader.
But that's why we booked Vader because, like, we were sold out, but we felt like we could monetize the event more. So we're like, we worked a deal with Vader to just come in and do a meet and greet to where, like, you know, we could try to, you know, make a little bit money off of photo ops or autographs or things like that. That's really the only reason why we booked Vader, and like, he was fucking awful to deal with. Like, he wanted us to mail him a cash deposit hidden in magazines. Like, it's just fucking stupid shit.
Specifically Maxim magazine.
Yeah, can you hide cash in a Maxim magazine and overnight FedEx it to me? And I was just like, dude, I'm not mailing
as
you
if,
cash.
If you said I'm National Geographic, he would have denied the delivery.
I was like, dude, I'm not mailing you cash. Like, what the fuck? Like, what do you think this is? Like, yeah, of course, I'm going to mail you cash. And you're going to say, oh, the cash isn't in there. Like, I'm not a fucking idiot.
Marty Jannetty one time wanted us to FedEx him a box of cash.
Yeah, a box of cash. He just wanted
a box.
A shoebox.
A small
money.
Bills.
Yeah, small bills only. Small denominations. But yeah, Vader fucking sucked to deal with. He, like, but it was just like, we're thinking like, oh man, like Vader's like our idol, you know?
And like, it's Thorne's story to tell, but the show almost got shut down right before we opened doors.
Oh fuck, man. Like,
So I'm dealing with one owner
and so
bitching about the line, and then
so
Thorne-
like, since we couldn't do War Games, this place had balconies. So like, M-Dog and Alex Daniels were both going to do balcony dives in the match through tables and stuff like that. Like, just to create total fucking chaos. And like, we had to get this crazy insurance policy just to hold an event there. So,
and one of the owners said it was okay, right?
Yeah. Like, the one owner was like, oh man, somebody better fucking jump out of this balcony. You know, like, that's, you know, that's what this place is all about for pro wrestling. So one of the other owners saw like M-Dog, like, kind of like eyeing it up. He was on the balcony. He was trying to figure out, you know, how to do the balcony dive. And like, I guess this other owner didn't like it. So like, doors are about to open. There's literally 500 people just wrapped all the way around the building. Like, so many people, like, you could see them forever. And I go to my car to get my phone charger, and like, this owner follows me, and he just like gets fucking nose to nose with me. Like, he's going to fight me. And for all these people, he's like, I'm going to fucking shut this fucking show down right fucking now. Somebody's going to jump out of that fucking balcony. I'm like, dude, what are you so mad about? He's like, look at all these fucking people. I was like, yeah. And you make all the money off concessions. He goes, fuck this, fuck all these fucking people. I'm going to fucking shut this show down right now because someone's jumping out of the balcony. And I was like, I have insurance. And he's like, I don't give a fuck. I'll fuck you up right now. And I was like, are you going to fucking fight me for like making you all this money? And he's like, fuck yeah, I'm going to fucking fight you. And I was like, okay. Like, and then he was just like, nobody jumping on that fucking balcony. He like stormed off, and I was like,
"And like
what
Kingston,
the fuck?
Kingston and Ethan Page were just gonna do a thing where they brawl through the balcony, and that was called up."
Yeah, like Eddie Kingston wanted to actually be hung by the dog collar, like that he beat, like that, you know, kind of, you know, a flashback on their dog collar match from Hell on Earth. Like, he wanted Ethan Page to like hang him off the balcony with the dog collar, and he was gonna like take like a bump just onto the concrete, like a hang drop bump. But, like, we had to call that off because, like, this fucking guy said if anybody goes in the balcony, the show's getting shut down. And that was, like, match 5. And I was like, there's no fucking way we're not at least getting to the fucking $10,000 main event, because we would have to pay those people if they shut the show down or not. And then, like, Vader was a fucking mess to deal with, like, the whole day. Like, we had to delay doors opening because Vader's only there to sign autographs for people. He gets to the show after making me sit at Applebee's with him for 3 hours while he ordered 4 meals. he gets to the fucking show. Doors are about to open. We got to open in 5 minutes. We were waiting for Vader to get there. And he goes, oh, shit. I forgot my 8x10s and everything else that I'm supposed to have at a wrestling event at the hotel. I got to go back. So, like, we had to, like, postpone the doors opening because the fucking meet and greet guy forgot all his fucking meet and greet equipment.
That's like a big thing people always bitch about when we open doors late or start the show late, but there's always a valid excuse. We might just not say it.
Yeah, like, we can't say like, oh, hey, sorry guys, we have to push the doors open because fucking Vader forgot all his fucking 8x10s, or like the, you know, fill in the blank guy who was supposed to be here an hour and a half ago and he's in the first match is running late. So we have to fucking postpone the doors opening because he has to figure out what he's going to do in his match. Like, these guys just don't go out there and just have a match. Like, there's, you know, lots of planning involved, you know, for it to be good. So sometimes we got to postpone doors because this dude is supposed to, or girl is supposed to be on, you know, within the first half of the show, and they're running late. But we don't want to put them on blast, you know, and be like, oh, you know, this show's running late because this guy is a fucking asshole and doesn't listen to when he's supposed to be
so
here.
So we take the heat.
So we got to take the heat. And then, you know, we hear all this shit like, oh, fucking these guys can't open their doors. Well, you know, there's always a valid excuse. Just, you know, we're not going to be like, doors are opening late because Tyson Dukes is stuck in the, you know, because power lines are down. But, you know, that's kind of, I guess, the history of Absolution
and
in a nutshell.
And real quick about Absolution, we had a scripted promo between Veda Scott and Vader, thinking it was going to be hilarious.
Oh, my God. Yes, yes, yes.
That'd be a good thing to end on.
And so this is another reason why we booked Vader is we think him versus Veda Scott doing something would go viral. So, you know, Vader was supposed to do his run-in. He was supposed to beat up the Iron Curtain. And then Veda Scott, who was a heel, we wanted her music to hit and say, just simply get in his face and say, get out of here, Vader. It's Veda time. And then he would just
like laugh at her.
And he would just laugh and powder off and go fucking V5 some people in the crowd.
Jack off with Ugg boots on.
Yeah. Fucking dick pick his fucking Ugg boots. But, so he's like, yeah, this sounds great. I'll do whatever you want. And then Veda walks away and he comes up to me and he goes, you don't really expect me to back down from the broad, do you? And I go, what? He goes, do you understand my career in Japan? He goes, and I'm going to just walk away from a girl? He goes, what the fuck? Who the fuck do you think I am, motherfucker?
And Thor goes, you agreed to it.
I go, you just said you do it. He goes, well, yeah, that's because she's hot and she was standing right there. I'm not fucking selling for a broad. And I was like, what? Like, she's not hitting you. He goes, I'm not fucking backing down from her. I'm fucking Big Van Vader. And I was like, dude, like, I just want her to say it's Veda time. And he goes, no, absolutely not. I'm not doing that.
Love Vader.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck Vader.
Yeah, fuck Vader. But, yeah, you know, that was kind of a big, you know, plan. Like, that was really the main reason why we booked him, not only to try to, like, monetize the event more through, like, autographs and photo ops and stuff, but we wanted either an in-ring segment or a backstage segment where Vader and Veda did something, because I thought it would go viral. People would have fucking went nuts for that. And like, he just didn't get it. He just wanted to tell me about all his fucking Triple Crown championships in Japan. And I was like, dude, like, it's funny, like, you're fucking 60 years old. He goes, okay, like, I'm ready for fucking another run. He goes also, what the fuck, you only sold 500 tickets with me on the card? And I was like, what? And he goes instead of that girl, instead of that girl, how about Big Joe's here, right? Referring to Samoa Joe. I go, yeah. He goes, me and him have never done anything. He goes, how about you just have Joe come out and do a stare off with me, and we beat up these guys together, and then you just make a DVD of that.
Just of that, a 20-minute DVD.
And I go, so you want me to make a 15-minute DVD of you and Joe? He goes, yeah, man. Me and Joe have never been in the ring together. And people will fucking buy that shit left and right. You'll be rich. I go, you want me to sell a 15-minute DVD of you and Samoa Joe just staring down, and then you beat up Gregory Iron? And he goes, fuck yeah, brother. And then he goes, you know, maybe I'll get a little heat on Joe. He goes, you know, and then, you know, I'll take the.
Did he say something about Vince or something?
I don't know. He goes, you know, maybe I'll take a little heat from Joe. You know, I know he's working for Vince. You know, so, you know, I'll give the kid the rub. And I was like, and he's like, and you'll be rich because you'll have this 15-minute DVD. And I was just like, all right, Vader, you're just going to go out and beat up Joey Vincent
Martini. Do you think his DVD would be a one disc or two disc?
I would say it would be probably
like a mini disc.
Yeah, like a mini DV tape. high 8. Like, we could only sell that on a high 8 tape. But
could possibly be a Vine.
Yeah, Vader, I could sell your fucking Vine, man. But yeah, that's... there's so many stories about Vader that we could probably share in that fucking 15 minutes we associated with him that night. But I guess that is kind of the a little history of Absolution. We didn't even get to the Bryan Danielson ones and stuff like that, but we'll probably get to that in a later episode.
Yeah, really quick, my Vader story. I was talking for a half an hour, and all he wanted was a little Latina girl to come to his hotel room and rub him down after his run-in.
With his Ugg boots.
With his...
Probably would have sent her a fucking dick pic, dude.
You could have had his penis picture as the DVD photo, but had the circle of the middle of the DVD as penis, so you can't show the
It was small enough for a mini DV.
Whoa, I'm not going there, man. I don't look at but all right, that's this week's episode, guys.
Yeah. This has been The Card Is Going to Change, presented by AIW, sponsored by the This Is Awesome Wrestling Show and Smart Mark Video. You guys can check it out on iTunes, Stitcher, Libsyn, any way you download your podcast. Follow AIW on Twitter at AI Wrestling, Facebook, Absolute Intense Wrestling, and hit up the website for tickets, merch, DVDs, future events, AIWrestling.com.
Thanks.